Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Are you ready for some fun Disney talk? I am, so stand by for that. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. It's going to be an incredible summer down at Walt Disney World. I promise you that. You've got Toy Story Land coming at the end of June. How about 4th of July? Also, you could make one big trip and celebrate America's independence down at Walt Disney World with some of the best fireworks anywhere on the planet. You can also go any other time during the summer, long park hours, great pool time. Hey, and there's specials out there right now that can save you money on packages and room-only reservations. Drop by themagicforless.com to see all the details. And then once you check it out, fill out that free, no-obligation quote form, and I'll get back to you right away. Just let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and you and I are going to be planning an incredible summer vacation. I'll be down there. Hope you will, too. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Thank you so much to everybody who has clicked through our link when you do your online shopping. We appreciate that very much. All the small purchases do add up to really help support the show, the bandwidth, the hosting, and more. And the next time you have to do some online shopping, please just click through the link. Everything else the same. All your Prime benefits and everything else. Just use BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1312 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. It is opening weekend for baseball here in St. Louis, Missouri, in baseball heaven for my good buddy Matt Parrish. We're having a great time here in the Gateway City. Hopefully you're having a great weekend as well. Kicking it off here a little bit early, as we always do. Talking Disney. Today, we're going to give you some hot takes from Walt Disney World. I had to do that one more time just for the ladies. I love that. We're going to talk about some opinions we formed over the past few months about Disney thoughts. So we're going to see if you agree or disagree with our hot takes. And we're going to try to explain to Pam really what a hot take is and see if we get this all right in the end anyway. We'll see how it goes. So joining
You're
me today.
I
was trying to explain it over text and it fell apart. So anyway, joining us, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, touringplans.com, and the Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky? This is going to be hot takes today. Go ahead.
Stop. I have no words for you. You're exhausting to me.
I love this show. I love that we can talk about Disney and have a good time and laugh. I mean, that's what life is all about, especially here on a Friday. It's fun day.
It is. Sure. It's definitely a fun day. I don't know if you said Fuente day.
I did say Fuente day. I'm not worried about fun. No. I'm more worried about Mexican food at 5. That's how it works on Fridays.
Clearly you are. So I'm not going for Fuente day. I'm going for anything else. But yeah, it's Friday.
Right. It is. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, the hottest travel agency on the planet. We have Pam Forster. What's going on?
I need to quit drinking so much Coke Zero. I have my phone here. I'm making my Bitmoji.
Good.
My Bitmoji is telling Mike to stop saying hot takes.
Yes, please do. I can't wait to see it.
I'll be sending it out so all of you
Thank
can
you.
See.
Thank you. Yes. So, I appreciate that.
Happy Friday. You know what? We're going for Mexican tonight too, actually. Last Friday. So we have kind of a tradition here in the Forrester household. Sorry, I'm sure this is more about me than y'all want to know, but what the heck? It's that kind of day. I'm sharing. Whether you want to hear it or not, you're going to know this about my family. So on Fridays, Steve and I always go to happy hour somewhere because it's Friday. And we're like, it's Friday. Sometimes Ricky gets questionable texts from me.
I do.
But anyways, it's the end of the week.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's the end of the week. We're like, woohoo, the end of the week. So we always go to Friday. Well, last Friday when we were at our, where we were having happy hour, we're like, you know what? We're going to go here next week for happy hour. We're planning ahead. So we already know we're going for Mexican tonight. Place called Mad Mex near us. Anyone in the Pittsburgh area, feel free to join us. We'll be there for happy hour, Mike.
That's your hot take right there for your Mexican food tonight in the greater Pittsburgh area. All right, so let's get to the Disney talk. I love talking Disney. I love having fun just hanging out with our listeners. It's so much fun. So today we are going to kind of give some opinions on what we think are, you know, just some ideas, some opinions on the latest Walt Disney World news. So this one, actually, I'm stealing from my good buddy Scott, who just spent an awesome week down at Coronado Springs and was texting me pictures and his thoughts on the trip. And this is kind of where I got the idea for the show, because he gave me this. Actually, it was Elizabeth, his wife, I think, came up with this one. And I think it's kind of a hot take. It's something that's current down there. And if you've been to Walt Disney World here over the past year, you probably have an opinion on this. So one of the latest things we've been talking about in the news is the parking fee that is now assessed when you stay with a car at the on-site Walt Disney World resorts. And it varies whether you're at a value, moderate, or deluxe hotel, how much it is per night. But his hot take on this one, and I kind of want to see what you guys think about this, is that the hot take is that the parking fee wasn't so much a money grab, as we said, which I still think it kind of is, but it's more a proactive attempt for Disney to keep more cars off the roads on property, especially if you've noticed all the road construction that's going on, especially down by Art of Animation and Wide World of Sports. Going into the Magic Kingdom, that's kind of a mess. They're making that flyover and all that stuff. So did Disney do this? The hot take is that the parking fee isn't so much to grab money, which it will, but it's to minimize the amount of cars on the roads. Ricky, what do you think of my hot take? Is that true?
No, I think it's totally a money grab.
Really? You don't think it's both? I think it's both.
No,
I do too.
I think it's absolutely a money grab. I don't think it's anything but that. There's no way. There's no way, because they've gone all these years without having any kind of parking fee. And now they're just like, hey, guess what? You want to park a car here? You're going to have to pay for it.
But so, isn't the goal of Disney,
especially,
though?
Especially because, look, if it wasn't a money grab, A, they wouldn't be charging as much as they are. B, they wouldn't have the tiering. And C, it wouldn't cost more to park your car at a deluxe resort than it would cost to park at the theme parks. So
I see what you're saying, but I think that Disney right now is going through this construction, just boom.
They but have they're not going to roll it back after the construction has stopped. It's just like the airlines didn't roll back the luggage fees after, you know, the airline industry was tanking and now it's doing better. You know, we all knew that they, you know, weren't going to roll back the luggage fees. So even though they claimed, oh, it's just because of gas prices. No, I
agree. I mean, yeah, I agree. That's totally, it's here to stay. I mean, I get that. But I think that at least a byproduct of this is Disney doesn't want probably any cars on their roads. You know what? That's why they have the Disney transportation system. It makes it more efficient for their buses. But and they want to keep you, they don't want you to have a car. They don't want you to leave property. If you don't have a car, well, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to the beach. You're not going to Universal. And that's what they want.
True.
So, yes, I you know, I think that's, car, but... So Pam, what do you think about my hot take of the parking fee is just to keep cars off the roads too?
I think that, I think there were a lot of reasons why this came to play. I think that the construction that's going on right now made it one of the perfect times to decrease the number of cars that are in that area, because it is causing some backups in getting there. So this is, I think, maybe that was maybe not a reason for it, but absolutely the thing that said to them, okay, now's a good time to do that. Now's a good time to really help cut down on some of these cars. So we're going to try to do that with this. I absolutely think that it's designed to help make you dependent on the Walt Disney World transportation systems, because therefore you are then staying at Walt Disney World. You aren't going to the other parks. Those other parks have some big draws. I mean, absolutely. They want people going there and staying there during that time. And I think it also makes an on-site resort stay something that is sort of more appealing in that space, because they do have that on-site transportation worked out for the most part, where other places that are off-site, I mean, they kind of say they have transportation, right, but it's always like, really? I mean, if you're right, only having one,
like,
drop
once in the morning and once in the evening, yeah.
And if you miss the bus, you literally miss the bus. There's not right, another one coming to get you. So, I mean, I think that, you know, Walt Disney World, I realize there are some complaints and people would want things to work a little different, but at the end of the day, this is still a fairly good mass transit kind of system, certainly much better than we have in our cities. So I'm just going to say, you know, that. But I mean, you know, I think that the reason they have the tiers is because they can, that is consistent, I think, with, you know, different resorts in the area, depending on the type of resort it is, they all have different fees. They don't all charge the same fees. And I think that they're able to charge a fee that is consistent with the type of resort it is. So that's my little take on this hot take.
Hot take. There's my hot take number one. All right, we're going to go to Ricky for her first hot take. Ricky, what do you got?
My goodness. Okay, so my first hot take. I hope I didn't do it lower.
That was kind of, you're kind of low energy today, but we'll take it. Just keep going.
I did. Okay. Come on, all right. Ricky. So I'm sorry. I gotta get with it. All right. So my first take, not doing the hot part, is that I think that Toy Story Land is not going to be the boon that Disney maybe necessarily thinks it's going to be this summer. I think it'll be popular. Don't get me wrong. But I think that a lot of people are still going to be waiting for Star Wars Land to open up next year before they really start hitting Walt Disney World for, you know, this year you'll get the diehards like us who are really excited about seeing a new land, but it's not going to bring in the crowds like they, you know, maybe hope that it would.
You know what? Here's the thing. And I agree with that hot take. I think that's a good hot take there, Ricky, because like you said, because you quantified it when you said that the hardcores are going to go down for it. You know, I scheduled my vacation around Toy Story opening. I know Pam did. I know you'll be down there. So we want to check it out. You know, that's something. Yeah. There's a lot of folks that are going to be there. I think the only issue with Toy Story Land, I think it's going to be great because that is my favorite Pixar movie. It's got the characters that kids like and kid, you know, people my age grew up with those toys. So you have the nostalgia, you know, of the 40s and 50-year-olds, 30-year-olds. But the thing is, you got to think about it. It's sandwiched between Pandora and Galaxy's Edge. I mean, two just gigantic projects, you know, and this isn't going to be quite on the scale of those, I don't believe. I think it's going to be awesome. But it's not going to be a Pandora Galaxy's
Edge. And I think that means that we also need to temper our expectations, too, because Toy Story Land is not going to be Galaxy's Edge or Pandora. Like, it's the scope of it is just not even going to be close to either one of those. So I think we all have to remember that we have to temper our expectations when going into Toy Story Land.
Yeah, the way I'm looking at this is like a new fantasy land at the Magic Kingdom, where that was an upgrade for that park, and it brought a lot of new experiences, and it brought a lot of really deeper, rich, just walking the paths. I mean, it made the experience so much richer, but it wasn't a huge, like, addition to the park. It didn't feel like I was getting a lot more. It just felt like I was getting a lot of good stuff, you know, decent stuff. So, Pam, what's your take on Ricky's hot take here?
So, I think that it's absolutely going to bring a big bounce to attendance and people coming to see that because it is something new. I think people really want to see more from Hollywood Studios. You know, we've heard that complaint for quite a while. And I think that this is something that's going to add to it to make it more of a full day park for those who think it's not right now. I don't know that Disney is expecting it to be huge. I think that they're very much a company who likes to celebrate something or have something new to promote. And I think that, of course, this is going to be the focus of this summer, that it's, you know, going to be an incredible summer, not just only because Toy Story Land is opening up and Pixar Pier is opening up, but also because that the new Incredible Summer, you know, the Incredible movie is opening this summer. So that's something to consider, too. I think that it will be something that really brings a lot of appeal to folks that have maybe younger children to this park, right? Because there may be kids who are younger and don't really appreciate Star Wars, but maybe, you know, being able to ride this coaster and seeing this other attraction and have the new quick service location might be something to do. I think that it's going to be, I think that the size of the land, when they're all said and done and the way it all relates to each other with what we know with the existing Toy Story thing, I think that may surprise people in that it will be sort of larger than some folks think it will be. But I think that, you know, for the most part, it's not going to be the blockbuster thing, you know, that some of these things are, like Pandora was, but who expected Pandora to be either? I mean, these are the same kind of comments we sort of made before Pandora, right? People are like, well, people will like Pandora, but, you know, it won't be that big of a deal. And here we are later, and there's still very long waits for that. So,
yeah, the thing about Pandora was, I think we were just, we waited so long for it, you know, that's and there true. Wasn't a big thing coming, you know, that was like the big thing for like 3 years. You know, there wasn't.
Yeah.
Right now we have so many like things on the docket, you know, like we had Disney Springs just totally got redone. I mean, it's amazing now. Galaxy's Edge, Pandora, you know, just last year. Is somebody behind me? Because I keep seeing.
No.
I'm not kidding.
Maybe there's a ghost.
Somebody's in here. Anyway. If I get murdered here live on Facebook, let me know. So anyway, so yeah, I just think that it's, the thing is, it'll be hot. Keep looking over my shoulder. It'll be hot this summer. But I think once Galaxy's Edge comes online, that it's going to kind of be like an afterthought, like it's always been there. So that's my opinion. All right. So Pam, give your hot take.
Okay. My hot take. Are you ready?
Yes.
Mike is like sure that there's someone going behind him.
I seriously saw something over my shoulder. Go ahead.
It's a ghost.
My hot take is that, and this will, people have definite opinions on this. My hot take though is with the redone rooms that we've seen at both Yacht Club, well, at all three, Yacht Club and Coronado and Pop Century, I would rather stay at the resorts with these new redone themes than I would at some of the resorts where they feel more Disney-ish is the complaint. They're not Disney-ish. I'd rather stay in the hospital room theme that some people say they are than in the more Disney-ish themed resorts. I just would. I just feel that they're cleaner, they're more functional, and they have more amenities that my family uses. So
I find this one interesting because prior to staying in that room at Pop Century, the newly redone room, this past December, I would have said no. I love the garish Disney over-the-top theme of how the Pop Century rooms before. Because I initially thought, oh, those are kind of sterile looking, you know. But then once I stayed there, my opinion changed. It was very efficient, and there were Disney touches. They just weren't bonking you over the head. They were there. It was definitely a Disney room. It just wasn't just as bright and as over the top. It was still there, but the utility of the room was amazing. So I agree with you now, but I wouldn't have agreed with you till I stayed there and experienced it. So Ricky, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I'm kind of torn because obviously, like, you know, part of the appeal of staying at a Disney resort is the Disney touches. I mean, that's kind of the whole, you know, to me, that was kind of the whole point of staying at a Disney resort. However, I do have to say, I do like kind of the rooms that I've seen with Pop Century and, you know, the Yacht Club. I do, when I've seen the rooms themselves, like, they do look really nice. I do like the clean lines that they have. Again, like Pam said, they have the, you know, the wood type floor, so I don't feel as disgusting when walking around on the floor anymore. You know, you don't have the comforters anymore on the beds, which, you know, are totally gross too. So I do feel like they are a lot cleaner, so I think that part appeals to me just a little bit more than, you know, they could still have the Disney touches and I'm fine with that, but I do like that they're a little more subtle now.
I will say that I went down for a media event a couple of years ago and we stayed at the Dolphin, Swan or Dolphin. I think it was the Dolphin. And as wonderful as that location was and convenient, I would never stay there just for the fact that it was so just a basic hotel room. You know, there was no Disney touch and it was very efficient. I mean, it was made for the business traveler and it was a big room. And it was very, you know, if I wasn't at Walt Disney World, I would have been excited for this room. But the thing is like, I know, you know, what a room at Riverside feels like and what a room at Pop Century feels like and even All-Star Music, you know, like that's why I go to Disney. So I get it to a certain level, but there does need to be some Disney in it. And that's the good thing, Pam, is that all these rooms, you might not see it like in the first 5 seconds of entering the room, but you're going to see it throughout the stay. Like, oh, that's a little Disney nod. Oh, that's a little Disney touch. You know, though, there's a hidden Mickey in this. And I think that's what makes it Disney.
I think that's what they absolutely did. They made a move that wasn't maybe quite so in your face, but I think they've also really done a lot of research into what most travelers appreciate in a room, how they want the room to feel, to look, the amenities that they want to have. And let's face it, so many of these rooms have designs that were from quite a few years ago. So yeah, the design is not typical of what a resort in that category is going to look like, what a resort room is going to look like. They're moving, I feel like, absolutely in the right direction.
All right, one more hot take for each of us. Here's my second hot take of the day. And again, this one is stolen from a conversation I had with Scott and Elizabeth while they were down there this past week. Here's my hot take. Summer might be one of the least crowded times to visit Walt Disney World nowadays because, you know, if you think about it, here's my justification for that. I've been down for many race weekends because I'm a runner. I've been down for marathon. I've been down for wine and dine. Been down for Star Wars. Those weekends can get crazy busy. Also, I've been down during the Food and Wine Festival, which if you go in October or early November, those times can be super busy. If and when free dining's offered, those resorts fill up very quickly, even in September, which used to be the slowest time of the year. And it probably, to be honest, still is, but it's not what it used to be. If you try to go a weekend in, say, January over the Martin Luther King holiday, boom, packed. President's Day weekend, it's pretty busy. If you go anytime in like right now, April, the last few weeks, it's very busy. I saw some pictures. So I think the deal with summer is that summer, there's just a larger window for people to travel that want to take that vacation. Maybe they're teachers. Maybe they don't want to take kids out of school. You have like basically 3 month window where you can spread the people out over summer, where a lot of people are focused on Martin Luther King or President's Day or spring break. You have a smaller time for people to get out. And especially during those wintertime escapes, people really want to get out of the cold weather and get down to Florida at all costs, even if it's super crowded and it just gets more crowded. So my hot take is that summer might be one of the times that you experience comfortable crowd levels as opposed to more busy, busy times. Ricky, your thoughts on that hot take?
I actually think that could be true. And your justification is kind of what brought me around to it, is the fact that it's 3 months of, you know, spreading out the crowds versus if you look at something like, you know, a lot of people, aren't thinking that something like Martin Luther King weekend is going to be a busy weekend. You know, they just don't think, oh, hey, it's going to be super busy. When everybody converges down there, they're like, what happened? You know, so it is a time off school, and you do have a lot of, you know, obviously the Georgia schools are off, you've got the Florida schools off, so everybody converges because it's a three-day weekend type situation. I know I would, you know, I'm always trying to take as many 3 days weekends as I possibly can living here in Georgia. So you've got that. I think that by being able to spread things out a little bit, I do think that summer is definitely not as crazy as maybe it once was. And you've got the heat too, which kind of deters people. So yeah,
I agree.
Think you might be right, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is too with summer is that you have extended park hours, which really helps because you don't have to be in the park for 18 hours, but you have the opportunity to be there any of those 18 or 14 hours that the park's open. So you can still have a very successful day going to park opening, leaving at noon and not going back till 6 or 7 and enjoying your hotel amenities, taking a nap, taking care of yourself so you're not wearing yourself out. And, I've always gone in the summer, and people are like, oh, how do you go in the summer? It's so busy. And I always tell people it's very doable. It's fine. It's not even stressful in the summer. We enjoy our trips, and we always go around the 4th of July, and crowds really aren't an issue for us. So Pam, what's your thoughts on summer being one of the times where you could probably experience the best crowd levels?
I think first of all, summer is one of the best times to go, period, hands down. End of story. You know what the weather, you know what kind of weather you're getting into. You just know. Yeah. There are so many other times of the year where you don't know. In January, am I going to need my down jacket or am I going to need shorts? Am I going to be able to use the pools or not? I mean, you know, so you know what kind of weather you're getting into. It's going to be hot and there's going to be probably a rain shower in the afternoon. You know that going in. So that to me is not a big factor. And the other thing is for me, I think especially at Walt Disney World, the heat is, it's so easy to come up with techniques and strategies to deal with the heat, especially at Walt Disney World. There are so many indoor attractions. There are so many opportunities to, especially with FastPass, to make reservations for those attractions. So you can kind of you know, clump everything that you want to do. If you get there first thing in the morning, you're still going to experience really low crowds. And like Mike mentioned, the extended hours really seem to kind of help everything kind of pace itself better throughout the day. But the other thing to note about summer vacations in particular is Disney has, they did it last year and they're doing it again this year. They're having lots of the special events that are only available in the summer. So for instance, all these incredible summer things, people were really disappointed that like the Pixar orchestra thing was not happening after they said it would, but it's going to happen again this year, Memorial Day to Labor Day. Those are when those special summer events are happening, those special summer things. And you're only going to get those at that time of year. So I think it also gives you an opportunity to see new things, to see something different. And I just feel like things in the summer when we're there work great for us. So yeah. I love being there in the summer.
Yeah, me too. And the thing is, what I've noticed is the folks who are the Disney fans tend to kind of understand that summer's a good time to go. But when I talk to my friends, you know, like when I was in teaching and, you know, just people like at family events, this came up again over Easter, was that, you know, people think, oh, you can't go in the summer. It is just crazy crowded. You can't do it. But they'll ask me, they'll say, well, what about like President's Day? And I'm like, no, you know, if you got your choice, go over the summer, you know, just because I've seen just a lot of people want to go down on those 3-day weekends and they kind of get crazy. Not that they're not doable. FastPass makes everything doable at Walt Disney World, but I feel more laid back going in the summer. This is, like you said, it's clear cut and it's fun. So that 100%. Was my second hot take. All right, Pam, give us your second one. What do we got?
So I'm going to, and I don't know whether this is, mine are always resort focused, I guess, because that's sort of the focus of my vacation. But I'm going to say that I would rather stay at an Epcot resort than a Magic Kingdom resort. And I think that's sort of a controversial topic because so many people value that monorail ride so much. But for me, at least, I like being able to be in control of how I'm getting there. And when I want to, when I'm staying at the Yacht Club or the Boardwalk or the Beach Club, I can walk to Epcot whenever I want. I can walk to Hollywood Studios whenever I want. I don't have to wait for the monorail. Not that there's a wait, because you know how often those come around, but it's on my own terms. I'm not waiting for that. And the other thing is the monorail's not going to break down. I mean, when I walk,
you're saying your sneakers won't break down. Your sneakers are 100% reliable.
It's all going to be good. Right. Yes. It's only just dragging my family with me, but you know, all of that. I think it's just as valuable, if not more so, to stay at an Epcot resort location when comparing it to a Magic Kingdom resort location.
I agree with that hot take myself, because you have two parks you can get to very easily walking, like you said, Epcot and in the studios. You got a lot of amenities around there. While the Magic Kingdom view and the Polynesian, the Contemporary, and the Grand Floridian are awesome, nothing wrong with those. And the monorail is a great convenience. I just tend to think that the Epcot resorts, just they have it going on just slightly above the monorail resorts. And, you know, unless you're really focused. But if you're like, say, your family with two little girls or two little kids, whatever, that are 5 and 3, and you're going to be at the Magic Kingdom every day, and that's basically your focus of your trip, boom, Polynesian, Grand Floridian, Contemporary, that's where you want to be. But yeah, I think a lot of us like to spend time in Epcot, use that as an extension for our dining, walk to the studios and so forth. So, Ricky, what do you think about that? The Epcot area resorts being slightly more convenient than monorail, the monorail loop.
You know, I kind of agree with you, although I've mostly stayed in, you know, Magic Kingdom area resort ones. So it is very handy to just say, like, something's really nice about just hopping that monorail and heading over to the Magic Kingdom. But if you are planning on spending more time at Epcot or at Hollywood Studios or the combination of both, then I can absolutely see the appeal of staying at an Epcot area resort.
Sure. All righty. Okay, Ricky, give us your second hot take. We might need to do one bonus one, so kind of brew one up in the back of your brain. But go ahead, Ricky, what you got?
Okay, well, mine is super not hot, I guess. Okay, we'll see. My hot take is that both Millennial Pink and Rose Gold are completely 150% overrated. I don't get it. I know I'm a millennial. I don't understand this appeal that people have with millennial pink and rose gold. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I just absolutely, the whole thing just baffles me. And this is from someone who has a rose gold colored Apple Watch, not on purpose, but that's the color I won the Apple Watch. So like, it's kind of one of those things where this is the color I got. So I don't understand the rose gold appeal. I just really don't get it.
So her hot take is that rose gold items at Walt Disney World are overrated, just if you're keeping score at home. And millennial pink.
Yes.
Which both I don't know the colors. Difference. Is it Are they different colors?
They are two okay, very different colors, Mike Roman. Okay. Yes, they are.
I mean, I've seen the pictures and I'm like, they look the same to me. But
one is kind of a baby pink, like that's the millennial pink, like baby color pink. And then the other one is more, has more of a goldish undertone to it. So.
Okay. Yeah. On a related note, Ricky, what's the deal with the spirit jerseys? Apparently those are a thing too.
That's another thing I don't
get. Those are totally overrated. They're too heavy. I don't get them.
And
either.
They feel like, because like, aren't they like cut like weird? Yes. Like, I don't understand.
The shoulders down to here. So
I feel like that's so weird.
They're not flattering for a lot of people.
No, they are not.
But, I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe what do I know? But
I don't know.
No, I agree. So I will say this. I thought the rose gold ears were very cute. It was a very cute color. And I knew that a lot of people, like Han's age in particular, would really like them because they, you know, love the rose gold thing. I did get a pair. I mean, I do have a pair.
Guilty.
And I don't buy all the ears, but I sort of like them. Now, the millennial pink, I did want that magic band, but I want all of the magic colors. I have all the colors of the magic band. All the colors.
All the colors.
Yes. So I did want to have that because I have many magic band
things. And I like what you did with yours, though. You switched it from with the gray ones.
I did, yes. I put the gray puck in the middle of my millennial pink band. But I am out. I think Mike and I are both out of the millennial.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm the only millennial here. Sorry.
Generation
out of the
X,
millennial
baby.
Thing. We're Gen X. Yeah. So anyways.
I don't get it. Even as a millennial, though, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't get it.
But I think, you know, I think what's interesting is the way that Disney has created demand for these things, right? I mean, if they hadn't been released in such a short amount, and I'm not one, so I don't even like gold. I don't even like yellow gold.
Me neither.
I am a white gold or a platinum or even a stainless steel girl. Like, that's almost all I ever wear. So I don't know. I mean, I guess this is all just going to... People have their own little things, but I don't think if they would have just been available rose gold, like if anyone could have gotten them.
Yes.
I don't know that they would have been as popular as they were. I think
artificially created the hype for
Disney people are geniuses.
Let's just be honest. When you have a rose gold cupcake, when you have a rose gold macaron, when you have a rose gold churro, that's too much. You've gone too far.
The rose gold cupcake was really good, though.
It was good, but I'm just saying. And then you've got you have a rose gold version of a cupcake at every single park and every single resort. Like, that's too much.
But people love it. So, I mean, just because we don't get it, we might think it's too much. But the people who really like it.
Yeah, so that's why we did the show. Let us know what you think on Twitter and on the Facebook page. Seriously, because I want to know.
Let us know that Ricky is completely wrong.
I'm just saying.
Ricky at Be Our Guest Podcast, please do not email Mike and Pam. We did not disparage the rose gold. We're fine for people. We may not understand it, but if you all like it, that's fine. Ricky at Be Our Guest Podcast.
That's right, .com. I will say, though, those spirit jerseys, didn't we have those, Pam, like in the 70s? Like, I'm not kidding. Like,
we
I had
absolutely
a shirt
did.
Like
are you kidding me? Hello, Esprit.
Yes.
I had you wore it off the shoulder. It had Esprit against the thing. And then you wore a contrasting tank top underneath. So I remember I had like a yellow Esprit jersey that kind of you wore off the side, like you showed your shoulder, and then there was a turquoise blue writing, so you wore a turquoise blue tank top underneath to kind of coordinate with it. So of course we've had that. We've been there and done this, folks.
Say, I've seen those suckers before. I'm just saying, when I saw like the ad, I was like, that's just something we've already had.
All you people who wore Esprit, you can or Benetton, you can go ahead and send me the emails.
Yeah, I remember getting a Benetton sweatshirt for my girlfriend in eighth grade for Christmas. Now, I was like, that thing's $50. I went to go to the St. Louis Galleria to get it, Ricky, like the fanciest mall back in the day. Oh, man, I must have really loved her. Anyway, so.
Where is she at now? Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest. Her dad was the superintendent of Hazelwood School District, though, at the time. So.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Anyway, so anyway, let's get to one. It's going to be the express round. It's got to be a quick take, a quick hot take. Here we go. So here's mine. In 2020, Disney's Hollywood Studios will be the second most attended Walt Disney World theme park behind the Magic Kingdom. Ricky, do you agree with my hot take for that?
Yes, I absolutely think that Disney's Hollywood Studios in 2020 will be the most visited. Absolutely. Because you've got Star Wars, and Star Wars is going to blow everything out of the water. And even though Epcot's going to probably have at least the Ratatouille ride open at that point, still don't think that's going to do it. And Magic Kingdom won't have Tron yet. So, yeah, I think you're right. And Animal Kingdom will have lost the luster on Pandora a little bit. So,
all right, Pam, what do you say about that? The studio's second most attended park in 2020.
I at least the second most attended. I think it has a shot of being the first attended.
Wow.
But
I think you're right.
I think that it absolutely will at least be the second attended for sure.
All right, Ricky, give us your last hot take of the day. Make it. This one doesn't need to be lukewarm. Make it hot.
Oh, okay. I really don't know. Breakfast at Walt Disney World is better than lunch and dinner. I don't know.
She's not even trying, but I will say it just depends.
I'm sorry.
So I will say.
Like, I was like, what can I? Okay, no, here. Okay, I'll go with one. All right. So the Star Wars Hotel, when it actually opens, is likely. I mean, I feel like this is what it's going to be. It's going to be like the cruise experience. So it really, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I feel like it's going to be like you go in, you stay for 3 days, and then you can do other things.
I agree. I agree with that take. I think what it's going to be something that we've never seen. Like when we go to Walt Disney World right now, we pay per night, basically, or you get a package. But I mean, it breaks down to how many nights and your tickets and so forth. But it's all kind of the foundation of it is how many nights you're staying at what resort. When you stay at the Star Wars Hotel, it's going to be akin to the cruise pricing, I think, where, you know, there's going to be so many included experiences because it's going to be all encompassing where it's going to be. You want to, you know, it's just going to be like a cruise. Like if you want to go on a 5-night cruise, it's this much for this kind of a room. Pam, this is kind of up your alley. What do you think is going to happen with that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it will absolutely be like the cruise pricing in that, you know, which staterooms sell out first is the suites. Always 100%. So this will be a hot ticket and it'll be a challenge to get. People are all like, oh my gosh, the price is going to be prohibited. No. It will not be prohibitive for everybody. There will be people who absolutely are either where, you know, the money isn't the issue or they've saved up for it. It's that important to them. There's always someone who is willing to pay that price one way or the other. And I think, you know, what's funny is I think it would surprise you in who is willing to pay that price. Some people make the vacation like a very important part of their lives. Like I will say for my family, a big part of our family budget is devoted toward vacation or recreation of some form or another, right? And everyone, that's the beauty of this beautiful country. Everyone gets to spend the money the way that they want to. But I think this will be, you know, I think it will be an experience, especially where people like us who are fans will save money to go and experience it. Period. End of story.
Here's the thing that I think will be interesting. I don't think that regular guests will be able to come in, like, because you're going to ruin the story.
No, so, I don't think like, so. I think you're going to have to be, it's kind of like a cruise ship. Like, you can't just walk on the Disney Dream and check it out.
It's going to be like the cruise experience just on land. Like, you either have a room booked and you get to take part in the whole story, or you don't have a room booked and you can never go inside the Star Wars Hotel ever.
There will be stormtroopers outside with real blasters, and they will blast you if you try to go in. That will not be fake. They'll be like, get back, you poor guy. Pew, pew. Pew, pew. All right, Pam, you got the final hot take of the day. Go for it.
This is a lot of pressure on me with the hot take thing, which was a concept that was just explained to
exactly
me.
Exactly, yes.
I am going to say in the next couple of years that the gondola system will help be something that helps sort of transform Walt Disney World transportation as we know it right now. It will be a catalyst for a change that we see in that system, because it's not going to be the solution, but it will help facilitate a change in the way that we are transported through Walt Disney World at this point.
I kind of agree with that, because I think with the gondola system, or the gondolas, as we call them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, is that what they're basically doing.
I'm sorry if
doing,
I pronounced those incorrectly.
No, just, I do it like old Uncle Walt is what I do. But I will say what it's doing basically from the plans that I'm seeing is that it's setting up like a secondary ticket and transportation center, you know, like a hub where you have a transfer system. And I think it's at Caribbean Beach or the Riviera. So you have kind of like, I think that they could expand this over the next decade to where you have more of those like nodes, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you want to go from here. Okay. Here's a transfer station. It's kind of like a very efficient bus system in an urban area where like in St. Louis, we have where I live in North St. Louis County, there's a North County transit center where a lot of the buses go there and you can catch a bus there to anywhere. It's like the TTC. But I think they're going to have kind of minor little nodes where you can transfer. And I think this is going to be an efficient way because it keeps buses off the roads. It's very eco-friendly. And it's, to me, this is the most important part about the whole gondola system is that it's novel. It's an attraction in itself. You know, it's like the monorail. Like when we went that one day to the Magic Kingdom when I was in like fifth or sixth grade. The ride I remember the most when I got home was the monorail. I mean, that was the coolest thing to me. And I think it's going to be an attraction, a novelty that not only gets you to point A to point B, but it's efficient and it's fun. So, Ricky, final thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, as kind of Pam alluded to, the transportation of Walt Disney World will be changing as we know it. You know, if you believe if you believe the whole car industry, you know, the self-driving car is going to be a thing, I think, you know, in the nearer future than we expect. And all of this, I think, ties together, you know, with the gondolas and self-driving cars and everything. I really do think that transportation in general is going to change, just not just at Walt Disney World, but in the world as we know it. So I think that that's very interesting to kind of watch as we move forward. As far as Walt Disney World, yeah, I definitely think they're going to pull out more gondolas. This is just the beginning, so get ready. They're going to have them. They're going to go everywhere at some point because, you know, it's, like you said, it's constantly moving, relatively speaking. I mean, obviously, it won't be moving during thunderstorms. I know that's a thing that people are always worried about of, oh, my goodness, what happens if there's a thunderstorm? Well, you guys do know that they have boats right now that don't run during thunderstorms. Yeah. So, you know, it'll kind of be the same type of system. So don't freak out. Disney just won't run them during the thunderstorms. You're going to be okay. I promise. They don't run the boats during thunderstorms. They, you know, they pull out more buses.
They're on that weather. Let's just say this. It's always funny because we'll be in the pool at certain times, especially in the summer, and you can hear thunder. And it's like, they aren't clearing the pool, and you're kind of like, huh, okay. So, and what it is they have their own radar. You know, they're looking at the radars. They'll see that this storm isn't even going near the Polynesian.
Exactly.
It's going way over there. So our pool never gets cleaned or cleared out, you know?
Yes.
It does get cleaned.
I hope it gets cleaned.
You get a big thunderclap and you better clean that pool.
Please God, let the pool be clean.
Get a little Tootsie Roll. Anyway, what I would say too, Ricky brought up a great point that with automation and in cars especially, I think Walt Disney World is a prime place for them to lead the industry because they have controlled roads. You know what I'm saying? Like they have their own road system that would save them so much money to have autonomous like trams. And because they could easily, now again, this is infrastructure costs, but you could embed sensors in those roads that those trams can, you know, it's kind of like the monorails. They can't get too close to each other. They can only follow these routes, you know, and they do this. And I mean, you know, it's like a Tesla on steroids. But I mean, you know, the biggest cost for any company is, you know, the human factor is the, you know, the payroll, and you cut that out. And again, I think that that alone is like going down to see like Walt Disney's original idea for Epcot. You know, it's urban planning. It's moving people from point A to point B efficiently and eco-friendly. And just Walt Disney World is a, I've always said this, that's the place to start self-driving vehicles, especially for transportation. But again, it's, you know, you can't have any accidents either. You know, you got to have 100% right. You know, safety. So, well, yeah. That's kind of fun.
They're still
so,
working on that. Trust me. They're still working on that part.
That's right. So hopefully you enjoyed our hot takes today, and you can drop some of yours in this weekend. We'd love to hear them over on our Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We do these on Friday so we can have conversations all weekend. We love hearing your thoughts. So please do drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Don't forget, great specials going on down at Walt Disney World. Like I said at the top of the show, it's going to be an incredible summer. We're going to be down there. Toy Story Land is going to be incredible. Riding the Slinky Dog coaster, trying the new counter service places, just being in the, you know, in there with the toys and seeing what Walt Disney World and what the Imagineers have been doing behind those walls at the studios. It's going to be a fun time. Also, you got 4th of July, best fireworks on the planet. I'm telling you, you go one 4th of July, you'll never want to go to your town's fireworks again. It's so sad after that. But, it's, you know, if you're going in August, there's great times. June, just drop in. Great specials. You can save money on your packages and your room onlys. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the specials. They're right there. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. And as you do that online shopping this weekend, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on social media. We love talking with you. We're over on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We've got the great Facebook page as well. All right, time to duck out of here, and we'll be back again on Monday with an awesome trip report. We love kicking your week off and getting you ready for the weekend and getting you through hump day as well 3 times a week. We love it. Promise no Sunday show this week. Gotcha. Anyway, so for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.